Hello, I'm Neil Schwartzman. This is number 0589, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there! Peter Anthony Holder here with you, and yes, this is indeed another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0589. And coming your way on this edition of the Stuff File program, you'll meet David Osman, one of the founding members of the Fire Sign Theater. He talks about their new double album, which is on vinyl, and it's called Dope Humor of the 70s.
Back in the 70s, when our first albums came out, people were listening. That's what they did. And sometimes they did it in dark rooms all together. Sometimes they did it in their lonely spaces by themselves and got weirded out or laughed themselves silly. The point is, I think people are listening again. That's why we're bringing back this work that no one has heard for so long.
And we'll hear some of their comedy as well. Science writer Andrew Vazakis, the night sky guy, talks about several items, including NASA's big discovery of water on the moon.
This is a big deal. It was made by a really interesting telescope that actually is embedded on a modified 747 jet airliner that NASA runs. And so it has these huge big cargo hangar doors that open on the side of this jet once it goes up into the stratosphere. And they can actually see in the infrared spectrum of light.
And of course, we have lots and lots of Stuff File news and an idiot of the day. The guest later, the person who told you this was show number 0589, was Neil Schwartzman. He's the spam fighter from cause.org. And you can check out their website by going to our website and checking on the show number for this program, which is 0589, which you just heard Neil mention. See how it goes around full circle? And you'll find their link. He's a spam fighter. Not the kind of spam that I love, though, which is that luscious, delicious Hormel product that is the luncheon meat of the gods. No, we're talking about the computer kind of spam. That one is the bad spam. The other one, the great spam. Anyway, thank you very much, Neil, for doing the guest slate on this edition of the Stuff File program, a show that is listener-supported, fan-funded radio that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Well, let's get right to the stuff. You know, this is the year that just keeps on giving.
This is 2020.
Oh, Babs, there's really no reason to keep reminding us. Here's the kind of story that could only happen this year. College student Benjamin LaRose of Millis, Massachusetts, is recovering from third-degree burns he suffered at an outdoor party with friends this fall when someone used hand sanitizer as an accelerant in the fire pit they were gathered around. Okay, first mistake in this story, having a party. That's passé. Anyway, said LaRose, it was rather sudden how quick it reacted, very much like napalm. I'm also a tad concerned about what a college student knows about napalm. Anyway, it caught his leg and shorts on fire and required skin grafts to treat the burns. LaRose's pediatrician, Dr. Lester Hartman, warned of the dangers of using hand sanitizer and then being exposed to open flames. Alcohol is very volatile and explosive, and people that are doing a barbecue or even lighting a cigarette or lighting a candle need to let the alcohol evaporate first. Or, experts say, use soap and water. So, the next time you go to a store which requires you to use their vat of hand sanitizer that's at the door before you enter, perhaps it might be a good idea to wait outside with your smartphone for that rare person who also uses the sanitizer on the way out as well, then watch as they light a cigarette. you might get an interesting, if not explosive, TikTok video out of it. 37-year-old Alexios Gerakis, a candle maker in Greece, has updated his Santa Claus candles for 2020 with blue surgical masks covering the big elf's beard. Said Alexios, "Because of the times, we are trying to convey a message that health comes first, then everything else." His snowman candles also sport masks.
This is 2020.
And in Hungary, confectioner Laszlo Romoxi can't keep up with the orders after he added tiny marzipan surgical masks to his chocolate Santas. He has simplified the design and has increased production to about 100 Santas a day in his rural workshop. Says Laszlo, "Father Christmas will have to wear a mask because Santa has to show a good example to people."
This is 2020.
There are flashing electronic signs along roads in Jasper National Park in Alberta that say, "Do not let moose lick your car." According to park spokesman Steve Young, moose are obsessed with salt. They usually get it from salt lakes in the park, but now they realize they can also get road salt that splashes onto cars. Officials say if moose become accustomed to licking cars, they'll lose their fear of vehicles, putting the animals in danger. In Jasper, where drivers often stop to get photos of the moose, officials recommend driving away if the animals start to approach. Okay, this is another sign that what we used to call common sense back in the day has now completely evaporated. Since when do you need a reason when a moose begins to approach you to drive away? I mean, if a moose is approaching me, I'm not standing there thinking, "Oh, he'll just come over here and lick the car." I'm not waiting for him to do a magic trick.
Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
I'm hightailing it out of there. Also, again, the sign says, "Do not let moose lick your car." Like, if your car is parked and the moose is between it and you, that you have some sort of choice in this situation. It's not like you can say, "Excuse me, Mr. Moose, please don't lick my car." Yeah. Anyway. French police in Lannion, Brittany, became suspicious when they spotted a man lurking near a parked car at a time when France's COVID-19 lockdown rules required him to be at home. Upon questioning, the 39-year-old unnamed man produced the legally required attestation, including his full name, the time he left home, and his written-in reason for being out. The reason? To smash a guy's face in. Local police chief Daniel Kerderon said he was trying to fulfill the letter of the law in his own way, but we told him his reason for going out was not valid. He was fined not only for violating the curfew, but also for being drunk in public. Was he going out to smash the face of a particular guy? Or was this a random mission of some sort? And if it is a particular guy, are the police going to warn him? I mean, I'm sure he'd like to know. And finally, in this section of Stuff File News, before we get to our first guest here in this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, on at least two occasions, women visiting a cemetery in Adelaide, Australia, were disturbed by another visitor who was pleasuring himself with an electric toothbrush while all of his clothes were hung on a columbarium's wall. Oh, dear Lord. I hope he wasn't also using it on his teeth. Undercover officers strolled the cemetery a few days later, and sure enough, they saw him too. 67-year-old Raymond James Stratford admitted that he had done it several times before, but chose the cemetery because he thought it was out in the wilderness. He lives nearby. Stratford pleaded guilty to two counts of committing a grossly indecent act and one count of indecent behavior, and was sentenced to 2 months and 12 days in jail, fully suspended, if he stays out of trouble for 18 months, and he must undergo psychological counseling. Yeah, he also needs to reconsider his oral hygiene, too. "I will not do it again," is what he promised in court. Well, not in a cemetery anyway. The story doesn't go into detail as to how he was pleasuring himself with an electric toothbrush, and frankly, I really don't want to know. Anyway, let's get to our first guest here in this edition of the Stuff All program, shall we? David Ossman is one of the founding members of the Fire Sign Theater. And if you've got fond memories of their amazing comedy albums, then you'll be glad to hear about their new release, which is called Dope Humor of the 70s. David joins us on the line right now from the state of Washington. Hi, David.
Hi there, Peter. Yes, the state of Washington, which is quite a good state to be in at the moment. and I'm very excited about the fact that we actually have an album, a real LP album. It's like all the memories of those great times in the 70s when your record came out. So we have a double record album, Dope Humor of the 70s, out from Stand Up Records. And it's just a kind of nostalgic joy for me to hold on to a record an album that not only opens up but has a code that will get you another hour's worth of record. So this is a modern age. I love it.
The Fire Sign Theater has never really gone away in the minds of fans, but I'm just wondering if you are receiving or getting attention from a younger generation of fans, those who couldn't have been around when you guys first worked together.
Well, I hope we are. I mean, the fact that we are still, that audience that was with us, they were wonderful people, but they're all 70 years old now. You know what I mean? Certainly over 60. So. And many of them, we're on Facebook together, and it's like a little family of fans. It's really nice. But the younger, yes, I think what's going to bring us back into the conversation is that people are listening to podcasts. They're actually listening, you see. My son, who's 28, is listening all the time. People didn't used to do that. And back in the 70s, when our first albums came out, people were listening. That's what they did. And sometimes they did it in dark rooms all together. sometimes they did it in their lonely spaces by themselves and got weirded out or laughed themselves silly, you know? But the point is, I think people are listening again. And that's why we're... that's why we're bringing back this work that no one has heard for so long. And I'm hoping that when people do listen to this album and the other things that are out besides our original Columbia Records, there's hours and hours of radio, live performance. We were a very busy group for 50 years. Well, 40 years. It's been 50 years or so now, but... my dear partners, two of them, have passed away, and now it's me and Phil Proctor, and we're holding the flag high, as far as I can say.
Yeah, and Phil has been a guest on this program on several occasions. One of the reasons I ask about new audiences is because we grew up in a time when humor was, for lack of a better term, more broad. You were allowed to do more things and talk about more things, even in an underground kind of way. And just nowadays, I mean, the name of the album is Dope Humor of the 70s. And for some youngins, I'll use a major word of the 21st century, that could be a trigger.
Well, anything could. And if I'll stop there. Period. Stop. But the album is named after a commercial, a fake commercial that Phil Austin wrote and that we performed on the radio 50 years ago. Dope Humor of the 70s. Phil, you know, it's probably the only album that's other than Enrico Caruso that's got the same name 50 years after it's been, that's named an album. I mean, I think that's quite remarkable. Is it going to trigger? Well, what will it trigger? Everybody knows that dope humor was a big component of 70s humor, probably originating with us and moving right along to Cheech and Chong and everybody else who was smoking pot in the 70s. I mean, you know, it was something that everyone at that moment had in common.
Right.
Along with the Fireside Theater, which allowed people to have a common language to talk about the realities of their life, you know? What is reality? Think of all of the, you know, the Firesign lines that people still have from and use in their daily life. So this album really, back to the, you know, the double record, is an homage, if you like, to the 70s, to the wildness, the craziness, the really uninhibited airtime. This was a moment, you know, we had originally, Dwarf was a 38-minute album. And even at that length, people were playing most of it on their radio shows, or they were selecting from the album. They were needle dropping onto the onto Dwarf. So we needed to give them some shortcuts, you know, something to play, drop ins. And in a sense, this album, Dope Humor of the 70s, is kind of an homage to that day when you did hear us, but we were like drop-ins. You get 3 minutes, you get 2 minutes, you get a funny commercial, you know, or a song you don't expect. So it really is a look back, and I think people will appreciate it on that, you know, for that.
Now, going back to the heyday of the Firesign Theater, you guys were like, you know, the comedic version of a great super band, of a musical entity. And I'm just wondering, like a band, how collaborative was it amongst you guys when it came to the writing of the material that you performed as comedy? Was it something that all of you did and it was equal, or were some people more writers and some were more performers? How did that work?
Well, in terms of the albums, the original Columbia albums, Waiting for the Electrician, How Can You Be in Two Places at Once, Don't Crush That Dwarf, those were all collaboratively written. The four of us sitting around a table, collaboratively writing and then collaboratively rewriting when we went into the studio. For the radio, specifically for the those two radio shows or three that have been excerpted for these funny cuts, those were almost completely improvised. Or if there was a script, if somebody brought in a script, you didn't see it. So both things are true. The albums were really collaboratively written. The radio shows and what we did on the radio were meant to surprise one another, to, you know, to catch one another off guard. And we had an engineer, the Live Earl Jive, and he would just throw in sound effects. He'd throw in music cues, and so suddenly you'd find yourself, you know, in an Alfred Hitchcock movie. Well, I guess we're on a train. Let's go, boys. So it was always collaborative, and I have to say that the hippie ethic ruled us from the very beginning. There was no leader, even though it was really Peter Bergman's creation. There was no leader. There were the four of us. We were in it together, and we still are. Actually, the four of us are still in it together.
You say it was a hippie mentality, but you know, the image people get of hippies are not people who can be comedically on their toes. And as you just described, especially with the improv kind of situation, you guys really had to be on your toes.
Oh, absolutely. We, you know, and I think we were there from the very beginning. There was a rapport amongst the four of us, even though we came from different backgrounds, really. There was something we all had in common, which I guess is that magic of radio. We all loved the ability to make movies in your mind. And That was what moved us more than anything else, I think, in the Columbia days, was the ability to create these unbelievable pictures and move people from one place to another place and give them a few history lessons at the same time.
You mentioned earlier the similarities of this time period and your previous time period when you guys were in the heyday of what you were doing, the fact that people would listen now that we have podcasts and the like. I'm just curious, in your estimation, if you four were starting out now with the technology and the world we live in today, do you think the Fire Sign Theater would be just as successful, if not more, than it was at the time?
Well, successful in what kinds of terms? You know, you're talking of our heyday was a time when there were like four television channels. You know, the selections that you had, and we were living in the world of rock bands. You're quite right about that. We were, as far as Columbia Records was concerned, we were contractually just exactly like a band, and that's how we felt. And we did a lot of music as well as part of being a band. So, what can I say? I just think the opportunities, if we had started now, there are so many immediate opportunities, immediate access to people's consciousness without waiting 6 months or 8 months for a record album that you think is now, you know, to be released. And in those days also we felt that everything, all broadcasts, as you must know, are gone. Nobody was saving anything. Thank God we did, you know. And so the other thing about the Firesign Archive, what it triggers for me is a world that has passed by, but that is exactly the same. How is it the same? We were on to America. We were on to politics. We were on to the great lies that have been fed to us in this country. Everything you know is wrong. I mean, we felt we were at the time speaking directly to people who were listening. And I think that's the way people are now podcasting. What I've heard is that people are talking directly to you, not indirectly like a newscast. And now we'll hear from Bob in Vienna. You know, it's an indirect kind of thing. What I'm hearing through my son, Preston, is immediate, very immediate. And I think that's where we would have been. I think we would have had a regular podcast. Probably each one of us would have had our own. And given the fact that right now we're back to a medium that's much better than CD, back to LPs, I think we would start putting out records.
Wow. Well, for those who grew up and are familiar with the Fire Sign Theater, this is an amazing trip down memory lane. For those who are not familiar with Fire Sign Theater, be prepared to blow your mind. The album is called Dope Humor of the 70s. David, I thank you very much for being on the program with us.
Thank you, Peter, very much. And I'm glad you've talked to Phil Proctor, too, because he's a funny guy.
Well, you're also a funny guy. That's David Ossman, one of the founding members of the Fire Sign Theater. They just released an album, which is out on real vinyl, called Dope Humor of the 70s. And we'll hear a little bit of that offering in a few moments after a break, so stick around. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
The Stuff File program is a listener-supported, fan-funded radio show that depends on you for our success. Join us at patreon.com to help make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. Sign up and find out about our rewards program. Being a patron doesn't have to be a long-term commitment. There's absolutely no obligation. You could join today and end whenever you'd like. But the time we have your support would be so greatly appreciated. We'd also love to hear your thoughts about the show and even your ideas for rewards. Join us for the ride. Join us at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram. Coming to you from the outskirts of sanity, this is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we will talk to Andrew Vasekas, science writer and the night sky guy, about water on the moon, among other things. We also have more of the Fire Sign Theater. We'll play some of their comedy in just about a minute from now. And, or even less than a minute. And we also have an idiot of the day and much more Stuff File news. On the Stuff File program, which is heard everywhere, for all your devices, on Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify, just to name a few. You can also find it on several fine radio stations, such as WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, WLSL, LPFM in Dade City, Florida, CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, CKLU 96.7 FM in Sudbury, and CKHR Hay River in the Northwest Territories, just to name a few. There are several more, but we just mentioned a few. Thanks to all for joining in. Don't touch that dial. Well, as promised before the break, I have a few items to give you a taste of the Fire Sign Theater from their new double album. And yes, it is on vinyl. It's called Dope Humor of the 70s. I have three snippets to share with you. The first is called Pluto Water. The second is Sex Jail. And the third is Rules. Here they are, back to back to back.
You couldn't have felt worse with no sleep at all. Yes, morning finds you limp as a rag and blue as indigo. How you dread to face another day. Achy, dull, yes, only half alive. You feel and act like an old, old man. Yet, strangely enough, the cause of your rundown condition is simplicity itself. Yes, friends, simplicity. And to take care of your simplicity problems, to restore you to full vigor and health, take Athnesia with Pluto Water.
Good afternoon, friends. I'm Charles Blank from the United States Census Bureau. Are you the janitor of this building?
Yes, I'm Mr. Harris, the janitor.
Mr. Harris, is apartment 3 vacant, or is someone living there?
What business is it of yours, Mr. Blank?
I see. I have to fill a questionnaire for the apartment, even though no one is living there. Can you answer a few questions?
I'm not talking to anybody.
Is apartment 3 intended for year-round or seasonal occupancy?
You nosy bastard. Take your form and get out of here.
Is it for rent or for sale?
You're not getting anything out of me. I don't like your look.
Would you stick to that? How many living quarters, occupied and vacant, are at this address?
Hey, are you a stuck record or something? Don't you understand? I'm not giving you any of these questions to answer them.
Does apartment 3 have complete kitchen facilities?
Hey, Janet?
Complete kitchen facilities
are
a sink
here,
with piped water, a range or cook stove, and a refrigerator. Is it for that unit only?
Or are there need some help with this guy, Harry? Yeah,
how many rooms are in apartment 3? Do not count bathrooms, porches, balconies, foyer halls, or
bathrooms. Hey, you giving my friend Harry any trouble?
Is there hot and cold piped water in this building?
Let's throw him out.
Does apartment 3 have a flush toilet?
Yes, and you're going right down it. Come on with me.
For apartment 3 only, or is it you?
Oh, you know.
Yes, millions of men and women are in the same lamentable plight today, and not one in 10 can guess the cause. That's the insidious thing about amnesia. It drags you down, slows your mind, and robs you of your joys and pleasures, yet you hardly realize that you're slipping.
You're right, Roy.
Isn't that true?
What? The eye of light is looking right through you. God bless you.
You know, the folks at French Lick Springs Hotel in French Lick, Indiana, that's America's greatest health retort,
French Lick.
The home of Pluto Water. It's noted.
If you can call that a home, Ray, the light's shining, go.
That's true. You know, we have two excellent golf courses down there.
Three?
Splendid. No, only two.
Ah, but the Eye of Light sees three, Ray. It sees three. Wonderful, wonderful golf courses.
I see.
Go ahead. Go ahead. The power's coming up through the table.
Splendid, splendid riding facilities.
You're weird, Pastor.
Ride. Ride on. I'm on you. I'm with you. Ride.
And lots of outdoor amusements.
Yes.
Are provided.
Yes, but God's looking down on everything you do outdoors, friend.
That's
God's got his eye on your eye, so watch out and keep going, Charlie.
Carry an umbrella.
Decide right now to turn the tables on old man Gloom, huh?
Turn him upside down.
Take Pluto water every morning for 10 mornings.
By golly, yeah.
And see a new world in 10 days.
See two new worlds,
two
dear
new
friend.
Worlds.
You're going to need them.
Down, Pluto, down.
Larry?
Well, by golly, God said...
Look, Pluto's making more water.
Huh?
Excuse me.
Yes, that's okay, St. John. And God said, this is when I was with God in Miami, he said, Harry, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. Do you know what subdue means?
Is it like sublet?
Hey, Harry, is that guy down there asking you questions again?
No, dear friends, janitors of all the lonely houses in the world. I know you've had your bad times. And I know you've had your good times doing things you didn't understand.
God bless you, Pastor.
But things are changing, friends. The eye of God is looking down upon you right now.
Who asked you, Pastor?
Look him back in the eye, dear friends.
I can't see.
Either can God, dear friends, because love and radio is blind. Don't blink, dear friends.
My radio's on the blink.
My radio's on the blink, dear
friend. I love your eyes, Father.
I, just one eye, the eye of love, spelled I, the letter I, without the letter... What could we do, dear friends?
And remember, friends, it's been brought to you today by snifters, humorous napkins, hot trays, cassettner coasters, and bun warmers, drop earrings, finger scarves, gavels, and sash buckles, shredded cellophane and parchment scraps, squeeze toys, mechanical toys, blow-up women and extra parts.
Let me in, she cried.
Let me out,
he cried.
Sex jail.
Sex jail.
New from Paranoid Pix.
Legs Lex and Polyhuman Fig are underage in sex jail.
She was trapped by her wanton way of life, always wanting something.
He was trapped by her, a smart cookie about to be singed.
Lex, listen to me. Together we could be a team. Just you and me. Together, I'll kill you.
I love you.
Excuse me, honey. I love you too.
Sex jail!
Sex jail!
For singles only, admitted in pairs. Don't let anyone know the awful beginning of this terrible drama.
Don't watch!
This film is rated 4X for medicinal purposes only.
Don't watch!
Trained seals will be in the aisles for every performance.
And remember, absolutely no one will be permitted to leave the screening of...
Sex jail!
Where do rules come from, Mother? Where do we get them?
Rules are very, very old, Bobby. They're like stories and poems. Men learned them before they had learned to write.
But how did the first rules get made?
You remember, Bobby, that we read from the Bible a big poem about how Grid planned the world?
Yeah, he planned land and water and light and darkness and grass and animals and power lines. I remember.
God planned the world so that we could depend upon it. God made the world so that the sun and the seeds and all the power lines would obey his rules.
Did the sun and the seeds and the power lines really obey rules?
Yes, dear. That's how farmers and scientists and policemen can know when to plant their crops and when to expect them to blow up.
Did God make rules for people too, Mother?
God did make rules for people, son, but there's a great difference about the rules for people. For instance, you blow pot. Daddy and I get stinko. The sun and the seeds do not choose. They just obey their rules without knowing that they are obeying their rules. And that's the way you should obey your rules, Bobby, or I'll belt you.
What you just heard are three clips from the new double album released by the Fire Sign Theater called Dope Humor of the 70s. It's available for order directly from Stand Up Records and all major music retail outlets. And you can find the link to Stand Up Records on our website at the Stuff File program by just going to thestufffile.com and looking up the show number for this program, which is show number 0589. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
Oh, you guys are so crazy!
Ha ha ha. I think that's as funny today as it first was back in the sizzling 70s. That's right, I'm Dexter Fong, and nothing will make me forget the thrill we had making funny records back then. Yes, my late partner Hideo Wallbanger and I were the men of modern comedy. And today, when the satellite net is crammed with the stupid drivel of the hot humorous 100, where can a gone cat like yourself get the laughs that we were making then just for you? What thrilling moments. Well, they're all yours now on a double fun, double deal. Dope Humor of the 70s, Volumes 1 and 2. Who can forget such modern comedy hits as Cheech Chong's Reuben and the Jets, or Kong, Ress, and Wonder's Beat the Electrician? Who did you have your arm up when you first sighed to Bootleg by the Four or Five Crazy Guys? Or cut a rug to the antics of Hilario Gomez and the Wanderers? Yes, all million sellers, plus the Fab Fire Sign, together again on this bonus extra. Yes, a rare collection of Phil, and Phil at their hilarious, inscrutable best, if you order now. Oh, God, wouldn't it be great to laugh again and stop bumping into things? Well, bozos, get on it and do it every day. Now the 70s aren't gone, if you're still smiling, order now.
Right, Dope Humor Offer, Box 69, California. That's Right, Dope Humor Offer, Box 69, California, now!
Got something for the mailbag? Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. Send your email to mailbag@thestufffile.com. And remember, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's mailbag@thestufffile.com. Or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. There's more Stuff File coming your way in just a few moments.
Peter Anthony Holder here. Often I mention my book, Great Conversations, my interviews with two men on the moon and a galaxy of stars. I also often mention that I'd like you to become a patron of the Stuff File program via Patreon.com. Well, this is my opportunity to combine both of those pleas to you. You've heard me say on many occasions about the myriad of celebrities I've had the chance to talk to that are contained in my book, which is published by Bear Manor Media. You've also heard me mention that some of the celebrities in my book, and many others, can be heard on our page at Patreon.com. Well, if you've been on the fence about joining Patreon, let me try to pull you over to our side. By becoming a patron, you help to make this show an even bigger and better radio experience. And if you do become a regular patron, as a Patreon reward, I'll share with you an electronic version of my book for your e-reader. So join Patreon and claim your copy of Great Conversations, my interviews with two men on the moon and a galaxy of stars. Sign up today at patreon.com/thestufffileprogram.
Latitude 47 degrees 14 minutes north. Longitude 84 degrees 39 minutes west. Location Montreal, Canada. This is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Now, the Stuff File presents Andrew Fizakis, the night sky guy. It's radio that's out of this world.
And Andrew Fizakis is a member of the Royal Astronomical Society of Canada and the author of National Geographic's Backyard Guide to the Night Sky. And Andrew, there are several things to discuss, so let's start with the moon, the idea that there's water on it, and also, in an unrelated situation, the Chinese have sent a rocket there. So
that's right. That's right. So much to unpack here, Peter. The NASA basically made this amazing announcement a few weeks back regarding the actual confirmation for the first time of having water on the surface of the moon. So in the soil of the moon itself. This is a big deal. It was made by a really interesting telescope that actually is embedded on a modified 747 jet airliner that NASA runs. And so it has these huge big cargo bay hangar doors that open on the side of this jet once it goes up into the stratosphere. And they can actually see in the infrared. spectrum of light. Why that's important is because the Earth's atmosphere really covers up a lot of this infrared part of the light that we can't get to see with telescopes on the ground. And why this is important is because they can see the chemical fingerprints of water in anywhere in space, in the universe, if you have a telescope that is above, as much above the atmosphere as possible. So short of actually having a telescope in space, if you put a telescope that can see in the infrared light of the spectrum on a jet airliner that can go really high up in the stratosphere, we're able to find that water. And that's what they did on the moon. They actually identified there seems to be a large amount of water in a particular spot called Clavius Crater. It's near the southern pole of the moon. And it's one of the largest craters visible from Earth, which is really something you, a sky watcher, can see with binoculars. You can see this crater here on the ground. And they think it's the soil there is filled. They think there's about, I'd say, about 12-ounce bottle of water in every cubic meter of soil that's on the lunar surface. And they think that it's so readily available in this crater and the region around it in the southern hemisphere of the moon, it might be actually a lot of other places they're anxious to see that this might exist. And the end game here is why this is so exciting is that, of course, we want to send humans back to the moon, and not just to go there and visit for a few days like Apollo style, but actually set up research bases there at first, sort of similar to what we see in Antarctica, to have that kind of ongoing back and forth shuttling of scientists that permanently occupy these research stations in Antarctica. That's what we would do on the moon. And if we can find a place that has water, which we think we have now, this could be a resource, that a renewable resource that could be used to not just to create drinking water, but also energy like rocket fuel as well.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is the excitement about this the fact of where they found the water? Because wasn't there always speculation that there were certain parts of the moon, of the lunar surface, and I won't make the erroneous mistake of saying the dark side of the moon, but the far side of the moon? Wasn't there speculation that there was water on the far side of the moon and not on this side?
Yeah, I mean, there was always a lot of, yes, speculation of exact location of this water, but it's always been very tricky to find it. And in this case, what's really interesting is that it's on the sunlit side of the moon. Now, if there was water reservoirs on the dark side, and there could very well be a lot of water there too. However, that's not as easily accessible and in a very good spot for us to set up camp, basically, on the far side of the moon, because we would have, we wouldn't be able to contact and have direct communication with Earth if that for any bases there. So that you'd have to set up a communication satellite communication system in orbit around the moon to relay signals. So setting up shop there on the other side, even if there was water reservoirs, is not going to be as efficient as having it on the sunlit side of the moon. So the one that's facing towards Earth, I should say. So, you know, and Peter, I have to put it into context, just to compare how much water that this telescope has detected is really little. I mean, the Sahara Desert has about 100 times about the water that was detected here in the lunar soil. So it's really very small amounts, but it's still something that's potentially usable. And that's what they're going to be. That's the next step to follow up in the study, is how usable could this amount of water be for human occupation on the moon?
And yet there are no camels on the moon. But you talk about human habitation on the moon. The Chinese have sent a rocket to the moon. There's nobody on it, though. But it's what is it, the first time in 40 years that anything is going to the lunar surface?
Yeah, I mean, to actually bring back rock samples, this is what's so exciting, Peter, because this mission by China is so ambitious. The idea is to actually collect moon rocks, just like they did in the Apollo era. They're talking about collecting 2 kilograms of rock and soil from the moon's surface and bringing it back to Earth. So this latest mission, Chang'e 5, that launched just last week, it's going to break that 40-year dry spell of actually collecting samples. And so we're really excited because we don't have any other samples than what was brought back 40 years ago. And this is also showcasing China's prowess, basically, in space exploration, robotic space exploration. They've been really pushing very hard in showcasing to the world that they are capable of doing very complex missions. And this is probably much the most complex mission that they've launched because it has many components. They have a lander component, a drill component, a way to capture the stow away the samples of the rock samples. There's an ascent vehicle. There's a capsule in orbit that will be taking the samples from the ascent vehicle and then bringing it back to Earth. So there's a whole ballet of engineering that has to go into this. And they've tested this out. Chinese have in test missions that led up to this in the last few years, showing different components working. But the one that they haven't tested yet is actually collecting samples and bringing them back. So that's the last piece of the puzzle that, you know, everyone's really wondering. Everyone's pretty confident that the mission will go well up until that point. But will they be able to collect those samples and actually bring them back to Earth?
Time will tell. And at press time, because it took off last week, But it'll be close to the moon by the time this hits the airwaves, if not already on the moon. So time will tell as to what's going to happen with the Chinese. Now, speaking of rockets going up into space, recently SpaceX sent up 4 astronauts to the International Space Station, which gives me the feeling that the International Space Station is kind of crowded right about now.
Yeah, that's right. So they launched 4 astronauts. There was already 3 crew members on the space station. So they have a full complement of 7 crew now on board the space station. That is the maximum number allowed on the space station. And they're going to be so busy. This new crew is really going to be doing a lot of work related to, of course, the maintenance of the space station. With so many folks now, a full complement on board the space station, it's exciting for the space agencies. The Russians are out there. The Americans are there. There's a Japanese astronaut there as well. There's plenty of manpower now of being able to run full complements of scientific experiments that they've been wanting to. But, of course, also having the ability, the labor force for the maintenance inside and outside. So they'll be doing spacewalks, repairing, changing out power batteries, making sure that solar panels are working. And the actual experimental tests that they're doing, the science, a lot of that is focused on long-term human spaceflight. Because, Peter, what the mission of the space station is, other than cooperatively working with multinational partners, is to really laying the basic groundwork for deep space human exploration. So by that I mean going out of low Earth orbit, going not just to the moon, but also beyond to Mars, of course, and even to the asteroid belt. Those missions can last for months to years, and we need to be able to understand the effects mentally and physically on the human body of what that toll of being in space for so long actually is. And that's what the space station is. It's an orbiting laboratory for us to understand everything that's involved in us being able to carry out deep space missions.
It was very weird in this day and age to watch. First of all, the launch was magnificent at night. It was great. But it was very weird to watch the docking, because we've all lived in a situation where we have to social distance, and watching those astronauts hug each other when they first arrived, it looked kind of weird. It was like watching porn.
And if you, and what was really interesting, if you look, if you saw inside the spacecraft, the SpaceX Dragon capsule, you know, named Resilience, it was so interesting to see the lack of buttons, you know, and switches, you know, that we've come so accustomed to spacecrafts having traditionally, you know, that have gone back for decades. The designs have all been the same, just filled with innumerable amount of switches and buttons, and, you know, and there was hardly any. There's touch screens, basically, yeah, in front, large, big iPad-like, you know, features in front of them, which was really amazing to see that technology, a very clean spacecraft.
We're out of time here. And we haven't even gotten to the Erasmus Comet that I wanted to talk about.
That's right. And let's not forget even Voyager. My God, it's been so busy.
I really wanted to talk about Voyager because I really do believe that we are now living through the beginning of the plot line of Star Trek One, the motion picture.
Oh, yeah. Eerily similar, eh?
It's very, very similar. How about we take this conversation and go to Patreon and make this a Patreon extra? Are you up for that?
You bet. I'll just grab some coffee. Let's do it.
Okay. Andrew Vazeka is the Night Sky Guy and the author of National Geographic's Backyard Guide to the Night Sky. You can check out his website at thenightskyguy.com. And you can go to my website at thestufffile.com. Check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0589. And you'll find links to his site and also links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca where you can order his book directly. We're going over to Patreon. Join us then. You're listening to the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
This is the Stuff File.
And we're just about a racetrack for this edition of the Stuff File program. We do have a few more Stuff File news stories to share with you. And, of course, there is an idiot of the day here on the Stuff File program, which is also heard on Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Well, a man allegedly caught snooping around a building site is accused of trying to pretend that he was a statue when police arrived at the scene. Patrols were called to the site at South Plimpton, south of Adelaide in Australia, just before 3:30 a.m. after a security company reported a person walking around inside with a flashlight. When officers arrived, they cordoned off the area and called in a police dog patrol. They located the man inside one of the apartments pretending to be a statue. The unidentified 29-year-old from Seton was arrested and charged with being unlawfully on the premises. Checks revealed he had an outstanding court warrant and he was refused bail. You know, you're only supposed to stay completely still when you're in the woods confronted by wild animals, not when you're trying to elude police. I guess he learned his statue of limitations. And a man accused of destroying metal detectors, a wine rack, and other property inside a North Lincoln, Nebraska Super Saver store was arrested following the incident. 30-year-old Andrew Marr was booked into the Lancaster County Jail on charges of criminal mischief and possession of a controlled substance. According to the Lincoln Police Department, officers were called to Super Saver on a report of a man ransacking the inside of the store. Police said Marr was damaging vehicles in the parking lot with a sign when officers arrived at the scene. He was arrested without a struggle and told officers he went on the rampage because he thought someone had taken his dope pipe. The drug pipe was found on him during a search in one of his pockets. It's estimated that about $7,000 in damages was caused to the inside of the store and to the vehicles in the parking lot. You know, my mom always used to say that whenever you lose something, it's always in the last place you look. But not fully going through all of your pockets for your dope pipe before going on a rampage proves that this guy brings new meaning to the word dope. I was actually considering for a brief moment to make this guy the idiot of the day, but I couldn't find any information that clarified completely as to whether this guy was high or not. And people who become idiots of the day, we like them to be clear thinking, or at least as clear thinking as they get, to earn that moniker. Which, by the way, boys and girls, that reminds me, it's time now for the idiot of the day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. The Stuff Off presents the idiot of the day.
Two people in St. Thomas, Ontario were burned when an SUV caught fire and exploded while they were using a propane grill to cook inside the vehicle. A 52-year-old man and a 43-year-old woman were using the grill inside the SUV when the interior caught fire and became engulfed in flames, causing an explosion shortly before noon on Sunday. The man suffered severe burns to his chest, legs, and right arm. The woman received burns to her fingers, forehead, and hairline. Well, hair today, gone tomorrow. Now, I know everybody is social distancing these days, and also most restaurants are closed, but why? Oh, why? Would you think that it might be a good idea to cook on a propane grill inside an SUV? One reason, and one reason only. You're an idiot!
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program, number 0589. Hope you enjoyed it. The website is thestufffile.com, and once again, stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H, where you'll find information and links on all of our guests by going to the weekly Stuff File page. Just look for the corresponding program number, and once again, that's 0589. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Twitter as PA Holder, and don't forget to check us out on patreon.com, where you can become a patron of the program. Hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including CyberStationUSA.com, Verdant Square Radio, KDXRadio.com, PCJ Radio International and its partner stations, TrueTalkRadio.com, downloaded on Apple or Google Podcasts, streaming on Spotify, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio, and over the air on World FM in New Zealand, MediaCorp in Singapore, CKUW-FM in Winnipeg, and WSTJ in St. Johnsbury, Vermont. That's it. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Any rebroadcast of this copywritten program in whole or in part without the express written consent of...
Oh, God, who the hell are we kidding? Who's going to steal this show? God, who writes this stuff? Holder, what a kidder.